This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
You're right.
Yeah.
Great. That's good. Glad to hear it.
I apologize for the short notice, but what I have to say is very important.
Sorry, I'm late.
You're just in time.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 31, Bitter Homes and Guardians. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
The Homes and Guardians aren't the only ones who are bitter, but we will get into the 48,000th episode of Season 7 in a second. First, just a reminder, again with this, episode 186, dropping April 5th, as we told you last week, let's watch Monica Keena in Law and Order. That is Law and Order Season 5, Episode 14, Performance, which is nowhere online, unbelievably. Maybe you have the DVDs like I do. Maybe it'll be rerun at some point, like on the Wii Network. Keep an eye out. But if you've ever watched a marathon of the show, you've definitely seen it. It's the Mac Rangers one with the Fatch. We're linking to TV Tropes' pretty detailed recap in the show notes. And we really hope that you'll join us for this, again with this podcast.com/club, for this and the other 185 episodes of ancillary material from the Star and Dawson's Verses. Join us.
Let's get into this episode. Much as we did in our last Dawson's, there's kind of only one plot line. I tried to untangle it, couldn't. Sarah is still here annoying us all. Sarah McBride.
But also Sarah Bunting. Hi.
Well, hello. And while Amanda favors a brunette in her employ, Kyle decides to make a stink about her ditching a blonde. We pick up where we left off. Sarah McBride standing at Megan's door explaining her whole deal. Michael has the right attitude. Clip two.
Oh, great. You ran away.
Yep. Thank you for speaking for us all. But Sarah shoots it right back at him, curtly asking if they know where her father is or what. And Michael guesses he's probably out on a hot date. And off Sarah's question, they have to reset Lexi, having told Sarah in Poughkeepsie that she was Megan. That's when Sarah squints at Michael and asks father where his collar is. Michael shrugs to Megan that the kid's delusional, and Megan calmly invites Sarah in for hot chocolate, guessing that the other Megan was a redhead. Back at Sarah's school, Terry is blaming Ryan for Sarah's having run away, what with all his paying attention to Sarah and calling her sometimes. Terry's all, who do you think you are? And Lexi mutters that he's Sarah's father. Terry orders her to stay out of this, but Ryan runs with that. And this is when Michael calls Lexi's cell and tells her who just stopped by at his place. Terry and Ryan fight over Lexi's cell phone while Michael brings his to Sarah. She ran away because she needed to see Ryan, but Ryan's going to have Megan bring Sarah to see Uncle Kyle at the beach, a man she doesn't know who is currently crashing in another stranger's house. Jane really did get a great deal, letting Amanda stay with her. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Ryan then tells Megan this plan, but when Megan sensibly asks why Sarah can't just stay with her, Ryan also sensibly says he doesn't want Sarah around Michael, plus neither of them is family, which, okay, fine, fair. Megan agrees. Everyone sure just drafts Kyle into this responsibility without talking to him literally at all. And after Ryan has hung up again, Ryan and Terry resume fighting over whose fault Sarah's flight is, ending on Ryan mentioning his plans to fight Terry for custody. And then Lexi plays innocent, asking Ryan what could have possibly led Sarah to do this. Ryan knows Lexi is up to her butt in it, given that Michael called her when Sarah showed up at Megan's, and Lexi gapes so unconvincingly that Ryan's like, thought so. And then Amanda's getting home to Jane and Kyle, happily making up the bed, and she'll never guess why. Amanda already doesn't feel like guessing when Sarah emerges from somewhere, and Amanda finds out for the first time that Ryan has a child. Amanda suggests to Sarah a contest to see which of them can fall asleep fastest. Oh my God, I love this contest. Can I do it right now? This episode is getting me there. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jane offers to finish putting Sarah to bed, but Sarah says Ryan always says her prayers with her, which, like, he certainly does not. You say your prayers on the payphone. And
yeah.
Amanda sadly looks back to watch Kyle doing wholesome fatherly duties without her.
To this non-infant niece that he just met. He's like spooning with this child and giving her little kisses. Mm-mm. It's weird.
Don't sit on the
edge of the bed, you monster.
Yeah. I would love everyone to be normal around Sarah. No one is. We rejoin Peter as he gives a grateful Eve a cup of coffee in the morning and urges her to stay away from the club for a while if it's tiring her out so much. Like, what is she tired from? She didn't clean. We've already established this.
She didn't. And the exhausting activity known as putting on a brassiere, also not something that she has to worry about, apparently.
Eve explains that she's been showing Tony a good time for Amanda. Obviously, Peter would like to know what exactly that means. And she's like, you know, talking to him, singing to him, giving him a special night. Peter says, sounds like she's Tony's concubine and that Amanda uses people to get ahead in business. So Eve should be on guard for that. And then he does a bit, letting their plane tickets fall out of his Wall Street Journal because he wants her to be his entertainment consultant in Maui, and she's very excited to do so. The next day, Michael and Megan are leaving for work at the same time when she demands to know how Sarah recognizes him from New York. He gives a very abridged version of where they met and why. Meanwhile, on the plane back, Lexi's telling Ryan about getting all the dirt on him from his exes, and we cut back and forth between these two pairs, recapping all the shit we already know. Ryan feels sick, while Megan is thrilled, finally, to have an explanation of why Ryan ditched her, because she's all he can think about, too. And then Eve is having breakfast with Tony as Amanda proudly looks on from behind a plant. Eve is telling Tony about singing the national anthem before a baseball game as a kid, and he is as enthralled as you would expect a man who wants to fuck her to be. Tony has already had background checks done on both Eve and Amanda, and he's impressed by everything he has uncovered, so while he does know about Eve's time in prison, I don't know how extensively he's looked into Amanda and all the corpses in her wake, or he's just not talking about them. That's when Amanda joins them, just in time for Tony to have to leave. She tells him the plans for his commercial are coming along, and she'll call him later with a great casting suggestion. And then she sits to congratulate Eve on the great job she unwittingly did selling Tony on herself, because Amanda's great casting suggestion is Eve, who reverts to her baby brain all, why me? And Amanda says it's because Tony adores her and not that he extremely is eager to fuck her a lot, and asks, where would Kathy Lee be if she hadn't done a cruise ship commercial and met her Frank? And Eve reminds Amanda she's already met her Frank, has tons of money and can't act, but Amanda says it's about using her good looks. She just needs 1 week of Eve's life, which, like, we all know which week it's going to turn out to fucking be, because we've all seen TV before. This account would make Amanda's agency the biggest one on the West Coast, and Eve agrees if Amanda promises never to compare her to Kathy Lee again. And then Megan's on the beach playing with Sarah and the happy not couple, Uncle Kyle and Aunt Jane. Ryan arrives and they make small talk about Sarah. He apologizes for what he said, but Megan understands, given all the stuff that Michael and Lexi did to him. Where is Sarah's legal guardian, Terry, by the way? Why wasn't she also on the plane? Like, this is your actual legal responsibility.
And either in this scene or in the next one when they're on the beach, in the background, Jane and Kyle are just, like, making out and wrestling. Like, Either nobody told them they were in frame or nobody cares. Little of both, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Or these were doing double ups and they didn't know where they were in the story.
Yeah, could be.
Later, Michael is summoned to Lexi's place, formerly Amanda's. Michael says her decor makes it look like a brothel, and she shoots back that he would know. Michael bitches that he never should have trusted Lexi because Megan's lost to Ryan forever, but Lexi says their scheme's not over until she says so. Clip three.
We just have to make a few little adjustments.
Like what? Shooting the kid?
No, Michael. Actually, the kid is not our problem. The kid is our solution. Once I'm done with her, she's going to beg Ryan to marry me.
Just a reminder that Michael has a child with Taylor. Remember Taylor?
No.
Remember their kid? Exactly.
I occasionally remember. This was not one of the episodes where I did. So, neither does Michael, apparently.
No.
That night, Amanda is working in her office when Kyle stops in to tell her how nice it was to see Ryan and Sarah together at dinner. To make sure we know Amanda's barely paying attention, her computer keeps beeping as they talk. And he comes around to peer at the screen. She says she's working out how to pay for the Tony commercial by laying off half her staff. And we hear more about that in clip four.
Wait, is that Jane's name?
Yeah, it's a tough call, but the truth is Jane's okay financially.
She's your friend. We're staying at her beach house rent-free.
I'm aware of that.
Really? Are you really? You know what? Who gives a damn about your commercial? We're talking about friends. We're talking about loyalty.
You know, this may seem heartless to you, but it's business to me. Good business.
So you abandoned Jane for the bottom line?
Listen to you. You'd think she was your mother or wife or lover.
What's that supposed to mean?
You tell me, Mr. Handy, to have around the house.
Okay, I get it. I guess so you can't keep her on because she's your friend. You have to fire her because she's my friend?
This is going nowhere.
You're right. You fire Jane, you and I are through.
Oh, you
promise? Perfect. Glad we all agree.
If you guys had figured this out sooner, we really would have saved us all a lot of time and annoyance.
You did figure it out as of the beginning of the season 20 years ago, mm-hmm. when you were divorced and Amanda was marrying Rory. Just let things happen, show, please.
Yeah. Also, I know Amanda's whole thing is being a bitch, but laying off the person whose house you are living in is not something any person would do.
No. This is also not how you pay for, well, who cares? Moving on.
Indeed. The next day, Ryan's getting ready to take Sarah back to the beach. She promises she is covered in sunblock and will be the palest person in California. She won't even look like she lives there. Sounding extremely casual, Ryan remembers that they need to talk about that, and apparently for the first time in at least 12 hours, Sarah brings up how she even got on a plane. She says she cashed in Terry's frequent flyer miles, which A, how did she know how to do that? And B, how did Terry accumulate so many frequent flyer miles working at a Catholic school and apparently never bringing Sarah to see her father? One wonders. Yeah.
And how was any of this done in the middle of the night?
That, too. Ryan just laughs because it's hilarious and not potentially extremely dangerous, but he stops laughing pretty fast because then a courier's there to deliver legal papers from Terry, duh. And he tells Sarah what they are. She asks what happens if she doesn't want to be returned to Terry, and Ryan tells her not to worry about it. Maybe one way to ensure that is not tell her what this very adult stuff is about. She doesn't need to know she's a kid. But he adds that if the courts do make Sarah go back, Ryan will only, it'll only be for a while. Like, you have no way of knowing how long it's going to be. You don't know anything. You don't even have a lawyer yet.
Yeah. Don't make these kinds of promises to kids. And also, given that nobody remembered that she existed, including you, until like 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm loving Terry's chances. Sorry.
For real. Over to Amanda's agency, where the staff is reacting to their layoff notices. Amanda comes to rally the troops. Clip five.
I have some bad news. This agency is at a critical point in its history, and in order to survive, we're going to have to downsize. So I'm asking those of you whose names are on the list to stay with me and work harder than ever. And those of you who are leaving, I offer my sincere regrets. Thank you for understanding.
What is this, fucking cheerleading tryouts? First round of cuts is on the bulletin board. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is that everyone in this episode is wearing, everyone in the scene, including parts of the wall in the agency, are wearing shades of purple. It's like being in Lottie's cult compound on Yellow Jackets. And then it continues throughout the rest of the episode. I Googled and Googled. I couldn't find any contemporary information about this. So if you're within the sound of my voice and you know what that was about, please let us know.
Yeah. It's weird.
Because it's weird. And once you notice it, you can't stop noticing that everybody is in that purple shirt, dark purple tie combo, which was very of the time for men, at least, that like pale version of the color, dark version of the color on the tie, which fine. But like, why is it all, why is everyone in purple? It's odd. And they even painted it. Okay. Anyway, if you know anything about it, hit me up.
You can also really tell all of these people work for Amanda because they're so beaten down. They just like kind of murmur about this. Never mind like yelling at her as she's walking away being like, well, bye. Anyway, Jane immediately goes to pack up her desk. Ryan and Megan following. Ryan says Jane has seniority over him, so he will offer to leave to save Jane's job. Jane obviously also has seniority over Megan, who probably doesn't even have a security badge yet. And Megan gets kind of salty about the implication that she should also offer to leave, which she shouldn't have to. She should have been on that list as well. She's already like dumped everything she knows about Lexi. What use is she at this point? But, you know.
Yeah, true.
Ryan insists he'll be fine. Megan says he can't win a custody suit without a job. Jane tells them both to stay because Jane is not ready for this business. True, but they could try to argue with her a little. They don't. And then Jane is leaving when Calypsix.
Jane, I don't want you to think
that, what? That this is personal? Of course it is. You and I both know it.
Well, you also were bad at your job as well.
Yeah. Also, I think it's only personal if the person firing you gives a shit about you, and Amanda never has cared about you, and I don't blame her. You're a wet end. Sorry.
It's true. But on top of that, the last thing that we saw Jane do that was work-related was fuck a client 10 seconds after she met him and then, like, lose her the account
And then fail to retain the business.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, at the construction site, Sarah's sitting on the sand in front of a chain link fence that has been set up suddenly when Lexi rolls up on her. Sarah accuses her of fraud, basically, and asks whom Lexi is pretending to be today. Before she can answer, Kyle rages over to monitor the situation. Lexi invites Sarah to go to Disneyland with her, and Sarah says she'd rather go with her father and uncle and the real Megan, which, like, I don't see any of their asses offering. Lexi tries to think of something else to bribe her with, but Kyle pulls Lexi aside and arm grabs her back to her car. And then, clip 7.
Uncle Kyle, exactly when are you taking me to Disneyland?
When am I taking you to Disneyland? Right after we put a few more nails in some wood. Come on, buddy.
What?
No. No.
Commit him to a number.
The bid is Disneyland.
Right. Also, you don't have a job. Just take her right now. You have a whole crew working on the house. You're probably in their way.
Yeah, it's true.
Then we're at Kyle's when Peter meets Eve for lunch. She ordered a bottle of Dom Perignon to celebrate Amanda casting her in her new commercial. Peter tries to seem supportive, but Eve knows what he's thinking and says she owes this to Amanda for everything she's done for Eve. Like, not prevent her from going to prison, I guess. She also gets to sing, like Kathy Lee, which if Amanda can't make the reference, neither can you. She intensely promises she will not put business before their marriage. And again, I must implore you, check the dates on this thing, because, come on, we know what's going to happen. But for now, Peter's on board to celebrate Maui and Eve's new job. That night, Sarah's coloring at Amanda's empty office while Ryan's in the conference room listening to music for the cruise commercial. The 135 tracks he's picked have all started to sound the same. Megan puts one on that she has at home that she used to play when they would, you know, and they're dancing and lightly kissing when Sarah knocks on the door. And when Megan takes off, Sarah lets Ryan know she knows there was more to that than just dancing. At the complex, Michael is bitterly helping Lexi assemble an enormous dollhouse clumsily, so they bicker about his dexterity. Lexi insists a house with a family is what Sarah wants, and poor Thomas Calabro then has to look up the redheaded mommy doll's skirt to see if it's anatomically correct. Like, it's hard to assassinate this character, but come on.
Yeah, really.
It's too much. Anyway, Lexi says if Michael plays the game right, he will end up with his own dollhouse and a blonde ex-sex worker to live in it. Not that that's the term she uses, of course. And
no.
Then at the beach house, Jane's on the floor stoking the fire when Amanda comes in. Neither greets the other. Kyle is not home, Jane says. Amanda sighs, and then clip 8.
Did you tell him?
Oh, and spoil your fun?
We'll be out first thing in the morning, unless you want to throw us out tonight.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You'd like me to throw you out so that you can look like the victim and I would look like the bitch.
Jane, none of this has been easy. Don't take it personally.
How should I take it? I mean, I was your friend, and you fired me. And then you cut me out like you cut out everyone sooner or later, like you're cutting out Kyle now.
Leave Kyle out of this.
Why? I mean, that is why you fired me. Because you're jealous of our relationship?
Oh, now it's a relationship. Kyle called it a friendship.
Well, as a friend, I think you treat him crappy.
Well, who the hell asked you?
If he doesn't share your dream, he doesn't share your life. Right, Amanda?
Yeah, I shouldn't just fire you. I should kick your ass.
Take your best shot. You're scared, aren't you, Amanda? I mean, you pretend to be the big boss, but in the end, you're just cowering in the corner like some kind of animal.
Kyle is mine. You go near him, and I'll eat you alive.
Really? Like, are we actually expected to believe that Amanda, A, couldn't kill Jane with one kick?
Thank you.
But B, would bother doing it over fucking Kyle? Like, I don't understand why the writing has to make this some sort of, like, not even midlife crisis, but like, what am I doing with my life? What's important? Like, just let her care more about work. That's allowed.
Yes.
Especially when it's Kyle.
Right.
Shut up, Kyle.
I mean, I would grant, like, Amanda doesn't want to lose Kyle because that will mean she lost a thing. I don't think it's about him. I think it's about the fight.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, like, Jane talking tough to Amanda, girl, give me a break. Like, no one buys that you are capable of winning this or any fight, honestly.
Mm-mm. Also, please do something about your hair.
Oh, God.
It's been a while since I complained about it, but it continues to be bad.
It could have had a chance to grow out by now. Like, when we first met her again, that was 600 episodes ago at the start of the season. Like, it's been a while. This is now intentional.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
The next day, Ryan is morosely walking alone on the beach as Sarah fools around with a kite behind him. He has a black and white flashback through several sexy scenes with Megan, starting with the one we just saw in this episode. Also, the head wound he had to get stitched up is already partly healed, and he definitely sustained it this week. Like, not only not wearing a bandage anymore, like, there's hardly a scab. Ryan is
sure
he's taking so long watching his flashbacks that Sarah has to rouse him, mentioning a friend's dad who would stare into space like that right before he had a nervous breakdown. Whatever that is. OK, weird thing for you to know about your friend's unwell dad. Sarah thinks Ryan needs to get his shit together and reunite with Megan. I'm paraphrasing. Ryan wants to be sure about Megan, but when Sarah asks how much thinking he did before marrying her mother, Ryan admits it was almost none. So Sarah wants to know if Ryan is with Megan because she reminds Ryan of Callie. Ryan says he loves Megan for her own qualities, which are what? Not sure.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone reminds Ryan of Callie, it's Sarah, who grins gummily at him and admits she's afraid that if he forgets Callie, he'll forget Sarah. And that's why she made him promise not to get married again, because yes, it was a promise, despite what she said to Lexi. But Ryan feels bad and hugs her, although it's clear from how he does it that John Wayne Gacy has very little experience doing this with a child.
Uh-huh.
Sarah suggests that it's time for him to stop thinking and start proposing. And then in the beach house, Amanda's cleaning up the kitchen when Kyle staggers out and finds out for the first time they are leaving Jane's house immediately. Kyle protests, but when Amanda doesn't engage, he realizes it's because Amanda laid Jane off and a fight ensues. He wants to work on their marriage, but Amanda wants to put it out of its misery. Obviously, she is right. You have this argument 4 times a day. But Kyle reacts like this is the first time he is hearing Amanda suggest divorce, intensely saying she can't mean it. Like, she meant it the other 25 times she said it this week, too. She means it.
Yeah. You've also gotten divorced before.
Yeah.
Just let the universe have what it wants. Fuck.
So when she stalks out, he follows. Clip 9.
You know what? I get it now. This is your way out. You knew how I was going to react. This had nothing to do with Jane. Jane was just another disposable friendship.
Jane got exactly what she deserved.
Yeah, so did I guess.
No, you got the best of me and it was never enough. But you're free now. You can go find that ideal woman. Hell, she might even be in that beach house.
You are my ideal woman.
Oh, no, I have too much ambition for you and you can't deal with it. You can't keep up.
So the end of that is, with Jane looking on, Kyle picking up a rock and hucking it at the moving car, smashing a large hole through the back windshield. Psycho behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, extremely dangerous, unless you are trying to make her lose control of the car and kill herself.
Yeah. It's not the first or even the fourth time that he's acted like this, so keep driving, do not look back.
Well, that's what she does, blinking back tears. And back outside of Jane's, Kyle's face is fit for kabuki. So much feeling happening.
Oh my God. Well, bless his heart.
And I guess it's because he's emoting for himself and Jane, who is completely unreadable, also in the scene. Watching all this happen. And then at Ryan's door, Lexi can hear singing, I guess assumes it's Ryan in the shower, and lets herself in to invite Sarah to the circus. Sarah is medium polite, declining, and so Lexi drops it, offering a trip down Rodeo Drive instead. This child is 10. She's from upstate New York. She doesn't know what that is, but
I'll go.
Sarah awkwardly says she's happy at Ryan's. Lexi talks up the dollhouse and Sarah says Lexi doesn't have to do all this to make Sarah like her. What matters is who Ryan likes, and that's Megan. Lexi tries to keep hope alive, but Sarah lists all the schmoopiness she has witnessed. Lexi snaps that she gets it. Sarah offers to give back the dollhouse, but Lexi tries again. They could go to Spago's, probably see some movie stars. Sarah indulgently says maybe some other time and opens the door to let Lexi out, rolling her eyes after she's closed the door, which is the best moment for both of these characters, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That night at the rock and roll club, Eve has taken the stage again to sing a song that repeats the phrase best friends love you no matter what about 500 times. Peter walks in and joins Kyle, who is tending bar. Business is businessing. Clip 10.
Look, I made an offer to Eve. I'm selling my 50% of the club, and since she already owns half, I'm giving her first shot.
So you and Amanda are getting out of the business?
This doesn't have anything to do with me and Amanda. This has to do with me selling my 50%.
Hey.
Hey.
Kyle tell you about his offer. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. It's a big decision. You know, maybe we ought to think about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, take your time.
Okay. No. Decide now. Whatever will get Eve off the show, do that.
I've lost track of who owns what. I don't know why I care, but anyway.
It's the fucking Peach Pit after dark all over again. It doesn't matter.
So I hope you're all sitting down because we're about to get some bad news no one saw coming at all. Clip 11.
They want to shoot the commercial the exact same time we're in Maui.
What?
Shoot it next week? It took me a month to arrange my schedule.
I know, but Amanda's in this huge hurry and there's nothing I can do.
Well, then forget about it. Blow the job off. Quit.
You know I can't do that.
Well, they have to rearrange our schedule then.
I can't ask them to do that.
Well, I can.
No, no, you can't.
No, you can't. I also don't understand, like, later on, maybe in this plot line, it's possible I wasn't paying 100% attention.
Sure.
Even 12% closed eyelids may interfere with my comprehension skills. But, like, it seems like what they're asking her to do is, like, go on a cruise.
Right.
And
that's
sing
correct.
On the cruise.
Yes.
And then they just shoot footage of that?
Yes.
Build a set. What is the fucking problem?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just put some Marlinville Cruises streamers behind her at the Rock and Roll Club and
mm-hmm.
take some pictures. It's not that hard.
No.
Why do I care?
Over to the agency. Amanda's in the conference room showing storyboards to an impressed but vague Tony. Peter shows up and Amanda introduces him to Tony as Eve's husband. Tony knows about Peter having bought the hospital and endorses him having done so because Tony also puts anyone who irritates him out of business. Cool. Amanda shows Peter a poster mock-up with a drawing of Eve in a droopy, strapless bikini top. And clip 12.
You know, it's too bad you're shooting that commercial next week. Eve and I are going to be in Maui.
Since when? Amanda didn't mention it. I'll leave this for you to handle, Amanda. I've got to run. You'll work it out?
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Doc.
Oh, you too, sir.
I have $1 million riding on this, and you expect me to put it off so that you could take a vacation?
Maybe you and Kyle should take one.
When I need a travel agent, I'll call one.
Why don't you just admit it? Your marriage is on the rocks.
So what if it is? That doesn't change the start date of the commercial.
All right, Amanda, I'm asking you as a friend here.
And if I don't say yes, you'll hate me, right? Well, I don't care if you hate me. I don't care if Kyle hates me or Jane hates me. It doesn't matter anymore. In fact, I would like nothing better than to be left alone.
You split up with Kyle, didn't you?
That's right. My marriage is over. And for the first time in a long time, I feel great. So if you'll get out of here, I can finish my work. What?
Nothing.
Something. It's something.
Also, isn't she still wearing that gas station trinket?
Oh, I didn't notice.
Like, at least take that off, Jesus. That would have been my first act. In fact, I wouldn't have waited until the marriage was over.
Yeah.
Cut and flush.
I understand that Peter has seen Amanda and Kyle on the rocks like 70 times like the rest of us, but still the only part of that he should have paid attention to is her saying her marriage is over. Like, buddy, let Eve have her cruise guy get in there.
Mm-hmm. Let the unbuckling begin.
Yeah. Anyway, then it's the next day. We have to endure an artsy montage of Kyle looking sad and useless at the edge of the house, Jane looking sad at the shore, and Amanda looking sad in her office. Like, between this and the Meghan Ryan flashbacks, how short were you on this episode? I'm not mad. I'm just curious.
Yeah, same.
Eventually, we end up in Eve and Peter's apartment where she is packing and holding up a pair of red lacy underwear, cooing as Peter comes in that she loves all the lingerie he bought her. Peter can't believe she's taking it on her cruise, and Eve says she wants him to come with her because there are 24 hours in a day and she'll only be working 8. So as she pushes him down on the bed, it seems like he has decided it's a good idea. And then we're in the laundry room. Speaking of good ideas, Michael and Lexi are bitching at each other over how much Sarah has fucked up their plans. Lexi snits that men only want men they can't have, but Michael says if he wanted every woman he couldn't have, he'd go crazy. They both end up removing the clothes they're wearing to wash them, continuing to bicker while naked. Michael says he's had his fill of redheads. Lexi's had her share of doctors. Then she takes off her bra. Finally, these two realize they should just fuck and do. This took way too long.
It absolutely did, but at least it finally got there, unlike some plots I could name, like all the other ones.
Absolutely. At the airport, Megan and Ryan exposit that he is only sending Sarah back to New York until he can get a lawyer. On a red eye, way to unpinch a penny, Dad. Ryan thanks Megan for everything she's done, and she asks what they're going to do, fondly bickering about the order of events that brought them here until they agree to start over as a couple. Great, no one cares. And as Sarah's flight starts boarding, Sarah whines that she can't go back, and Megan doesn't help by saying family should stick together and that Ryan should fight for custody from California, which I don't think that's how it works. There is a court order. But stupid Ryan decides to agree with Megan and Sarah that the moppet is worth potentially ruinous legal judgments. And then we're at the rock and roll club, which is dark when Amanda enters, and then has her own long black and white flashback to the moment she and Kyle decided to open the place. She's still staring into space when Kyle enters. They both regret all the things they said. He's sorry for every fight they ever had. Somewhere along the line, he lost Amanda, but she thinks he just lost the fantasy of what he wanted her to be. And she doesn't do well in bad times, and they've had so many. And then Kyle blurts, clip 13.
I'm selling my half of the club to Eve to give you the money.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
For your half of the beach house. I want to finish it this time.
You'll be happy there. I hope you don't hate me.
No, I don't. I thought I would, but I don't.
You just feel empty.
Yeah. And a little relieved. I mean...
I know what you mean.
It's funny. This is where it all started, right? Right here in this room.
No.
You give me the money for my dream. And this is where it ends, with me giving it back.
Forgive me.
Forgive you? He fucking broke your windshield. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
Jesus.
I mean, they only have four more episodes after this, so that better be it.
What the hell? And I also realized that, like his puffy sweatshirt and, like, his basketball gear that I was making fun of in a previous episode's visual aids, those were also purple. What's with all the purple?
Lakers colors? I don't know.
I mean, sure. It's more interesting than my answer. Anyway, MVP.
I mean,
Lexi?
Yeah.
I mean, she got it in with Michael, which that's going to be a good time. And she's not pretending to be especially maternal. She's just like, look, kid, here are the bribes that I have on offer. Pick one. Let's get this going. Agree.
Yeah, I have to. I'll say Lexi. I want to say Terry, the only responsible adult, except she should be there. So I can't.
Yeah. Also, her blocking looked like fucking James Vanderbeek. So can't do it.
Least valuable player. Kyle, once again, being extremely irresponsible with this child.
I'll just say McBride, and then whichever one you prefer. But yeah, Kyle. And also, just back up. Back up from the kid, please. You've known each other 10 minutes. Ew. Next time and again with this, Dawson's Creek edition, Jen's ex, played by the man of a thousand vowels, visits Capeside. Joey gets wasted after seeing Dawson and Jen together. You had us at seeing Dawson. And Mitch and Gail's marriage remains a shambles. Who? Yeah, exactly. But you can refresh your memory on Dawson's parents and all the hilarable fashions of the late 90s at our visual aids. Those are for all episodes of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. We're also on Blue Sky at Again With This, and on Instagram at Again With This Podcast, and you can call or text us anytime about anything to do with the shows, preferably, but if you need gardening tips, shoot your shot, 210-920-4699. I'm suppressive person Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is extern Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is kind of a negator. Talk to you next time.
Oh, great. You ran away.